Hello, this is Dr. Phil Fernandez, the pastor of Trinity Bible Fellowship, president of the Institute of Biblical Defense and Bible teacher at Kings West High School. This is the Christian Worldview. I have with me today Eric Purcell, vice president of the Institute of Biblical Defense, and Rory Wessinger, one of our researchers at the Institute. And tonight, our topic, Islam and terrorism. Islam and terrorism. We want to talk about the Islamic faith, the religion founded by Muhammad around 600 AD, and we want to talk about whether or not it has some violent tendencies inherent in it, or are these just people, are these terrorists just people perverting the Islamic faith? Is the Islamic faith a peaceful religion? So, Eric and Rory, how you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Pretty good.
That's good. Good. Glad to hear that you guys are doing good on this Sunday evening on Megatalk 1400 KITZ. And I think we had a nice little few glitches, but a nice church service today. We've got a Trinity Bible Fellowship rummage sale coming up. Norm wanted me to announce that on Saturday. I believe it's July 27th.
Right.
I think it's something like 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., something along those lines.
Starting at 9 in the morning.
Yep. So so that ought to be a good...
And where's that going to be at?
Good deal. Oh, and that's going to be at the Clear Creek Community Club, which is where our church meets on Clear Creek Road in Silverdale. And a good time will be had by all. But tonight, guys, we're going to be talking about the Islamic faith. The faith founded by Muhammad. Now, Islam is actually the world's fastest growing religion. In fact, even here in America, it's growing at a quicker rate, at a faster rate now after September 11th and the terrorist attack on the Twin Towers.
They're getting so much softball press.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And hopefully we'll clarify some issues tonight. Because there are definitely some problems there. But Islam's currently the world's fastest growing religion, and it makes up approximately 20% of the world's population. Now, Christianity makes up about 30%, but, you know, a high percentage of those Christians are not traditional Christians, and they're Christians in name only. But when you think out of one of every five people on the planet Earth professes to be a Muslim, It's a very important question to ask. What relationship does Islam have with terrorism? Islam means submission, and obviously they mean submitting to God. And so Muslim means a person who submits, one who submits. Now, their holy book is the Quran. It's the Muslim holy book, but they also have the Hadith. And in the Hadith, there are other recorded traditions and statements from Muhammad and some of his early followers, and it's from there that we find a lot of Islamic teachings that go beyond the Quran. There's three different types of Muslims. You have the Sufis, are the Islamic mystics. They're probably the smallest faction of them. But then there's the Sunnis and the Shiites. The Sunnis are the followers of the Prophet's way. That makes up most of the Islamic faith today are Sunnis. The Shiites, though, they believe that their Ayatollah speaks for God. And for a long time, I thought that jihad, holy war, came just from the Shiite Muslims. But now we're finding that the Taliban has its connections in the with the Sunnis. And so you can get the jihad, the holy war, from either the Sunni type or the Shiite type as well. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about Islam, its background, its history, and some of the beliefs, some of the teachings of the Quran. But we'd like to hear from you. And so if you want to give us a call, you can reach us at 874-1400. I'll give you that number one more time, 874-1400. Eric, if you could just briefly give us some areas where the Islamic faith would be in agreement with Christianity, just some doctrines where we would find some common ground.
Well, one of the major ones would be that, assuming that there are no deeper mystical teachings within the Sufis, is that they are monotheistic. And they believe in one God. They've chosen to call him by the name Allah. But at least we in the in Judaism and Islam can agree that there is one God.
Yeah, and that's what classifies us as the theistic.
The theistic religions.
Yes.
Right, right. And it used to be that Islam, Judaism, and Christianity were the three most hated and attacked religions on earth until September 11th when the Muslims have been getting such softball, happy-go-lucky, passing out flowers press. But another area that we would agree on is that, taken at face value, Islam teaches that submission to the will of God is the highest goal of life. Now, just saying that, not qualifying it, I would agree with it.
Yeah.
Submission to the will of God is the highest calling of our life. However, we would disagree with them on the act of what true salvation is, and we would say that, you know, salvation is by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone. They would disagree with us on that. But basically, those are the two things that right off the top of my head I can think of that we actually agree on.
Yeah.
They would agree with us that that there was a time when there was a man who was named Jesus. We would agree with his existence. However, his character, his nature, and his teachings we would disagree on.
Yeah, they would deny that Jesus is God and that he alone is Savior. Also, the Islamic faith would agree with Jews and Christians that human life is sacred and that none of us are perfect. That God has given us moral laws that all people apply to all people at all times in all places, and of course, truth is absolute. That there are things that are true for all people at all times in all places. Yeah. So there's many similarities. We'll probably spend the bulk of tonight's program, though, talking about areas where we differ with the Islamic faith. Now we have a caller, and it's Paul in Silverdale. How you doing tonight, Paul?
Oh, just fine. Good evening.
Good evening.
I've heard some, you know, state that the term jihad has to do with a personal inner struggle, a spiritual inner struggle. And yet I'm kind of skeptical about that explanation. And so I was wondering what it was that you may have discovered about that.
Yeah, there are many people that are proclaiming from the rooftops, especially many Westerners right now, that jihad merely means an inner struggle with sin. And that does make sense to a certain degree, in that the Islamic faith, you know, Islam means submission. It's the idea of submission to God. But the fact of the matter, that appears, as far as the term jihad goes, it appears that they're just more progressive, liberal Islamic leaders who are trying to water down some teachings of the Quran and the Hadith that they have problems with. In actuality, when you look at Muhammad and how he used the term, and Muhammad and his life, his actions speak louder than words. There was a whole lot of blood on his sword, and he wanted to, through conquest, through military conquest, unite the Arab tribes, and then after his death, you had many of the early leaders of the Islamic faith going throughout Europe and slaughtering others and forcing people to convert at the point of a sword. So I think those who argue that jihad means inner struggle, I actually believe that the Islamic faith, at its root, there are many good things that can be said about the Islamic faith, but at its root, it is a violent belief system, and that Muhammad set the tone. Just as Jesus set the tone for Christianity, Muhammad set the tone for Islam, and it appears to me that jihad meant a lot more than inner struggle with Muhammad. It was to struggle with the infidels and to conquer in the name of Allah. So so I do think that it's being watered down right now. People don't want to make Muslims feel angry. Now, having said that, the best statistics that I've seen, the statistics that seem to make the most sense, it appears that only about at Middle Eastern Muslims who move to America, it appears that only about 10 to 15% back terrorist acts against the West. But when you go to Middle Eastern Muslims in the Middle East, that percentage goes up to a very vocal 40%. So I do think that there is some problem there. But I do think that these Islamic terrorists are actually part of reform movements that are trying to get back to the original intent of the Quran, which is a violent intent.
Yeah, I've listened one time to a Janet Parshall radio show, and she had a couple on there who were Christians who had once been Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
They said that the best thing to do is, rather than calling them Muslim extremists, is to call them Muslim purists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the purist is a good term to use because they really do. It's like the Wahhabi movement, which later gave way to the Taliban, and founded in Saudi Arabia. That movement was a reform movement, an attempt to purify the Islamic faith and to do so through violent acts. And purist would be a really good term to use there.
Maybe you'd call them fundamentalist. I mean, if you want to use a term that we're more familiar with.
And it what scares me, too, is the way that we see the liberal media reporting on these issues, because they will refer to, you know, Muslim extremists and terrorists as fundamentalists, and that's okay with me. But then in the very next breath, they refer to traditional Christians. Jeez, you know, like Jerry Falwell has never killed an innocent human being, and he's married to only one woman for his entire life.
Right.
And yet he's referred to as a fundamentalist in the same breath that Osama bin Laden is.
Yep.
And this is coming from both the left and the right, so something's wrong there. Something's terribly wrong. So, I think you're making a good point there, Paul. I think we're on the same sheet of music on this one.
I heard one time or read there is a Muslim sheikh named Sheikh Kabbani. He has condemned, you know, the Muslim attacks and
mm-hmm.
you know the violent form of Muslim Islam, and he said that even though most Muslims in the United States do not agree with this violence, yet the people who do have taken over 80% of the mosques in the country.
Well, the thing is here is that, you know, here's what I would like to see. Let's assume that downtown Bremerton, we've got our little abortion mill down there, that the Planned Parenthood group that kills unborn children. If some whack job went in there and shot everybody up and killed everybody, and before the police got a hold of him and he killed himself, he cried out that I'm a Christian. You would have many, if not most, I would hope, of the Christian pastors and the Christians in the community saying, look, this guy does not represent me. Christians do not walk into places and start killing people indiscriminately. Well, this is what's bothered me about the whole Islamic terrorist movement, is that the vast majority of those who are in charge of anything that has to do with Islam have not stepped forward and condemned the terrorist attacks, the blood on the hands of these people who claim to be Islamic fundamentalists, and all I'm hearing is sidestepping and doublespeak, such as, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter, or we need to understand their plight more. No, killing innocent human beings is wrong, and it will always be wrong. So, if you're such a moral and outstanding religion, stand up and condemn it.
And there's very little condemnation.
Okay, we're going to a break, Paul. We'll be back with the Christian Worldview in just a couple minutes.
You know, most people I know are burning the candle at both ends just to keep up with everything they have to do in life. Many Christians just don't have the time or funds to pursue a solid Christian education. This is where Columbia Evangelical Seminary can help. Columbia has been established to reach this segment of adult learners. The curriculum has been designed for self-paced learning by mentorship study. While some students take classes in a more traditional setting, all coursework may be accomplished entirely by mentorship study. There are no residency requirements whatsoever. The curriculum may be as varied or as specific as the student desires because the student virtually designs his or her own curriculum. Columbia Evangelical Seminary is not accredited. However, if you do not absolutely need a degree from an accredited school, why spend the extra money earning one? You can earn a one-year Christian Studies diploma or go all the way up to a doctorate degree. For more information, contact Columbia at P.O. Box 1189, Buckley, Washington, 98321, or visit them on the web at columbiaseminary.org. The Institute of Biblical Defense is an organization that believes and teaches that biblical Christianity is not reserved for the uneducated and unstable, as some would have us believe. We present and defend our faith to prove that point. Science, philosophy, history, archaeology,
All the evidence points to an empty tomb outside Jerusalem, God's greatest miracle in an unbelieving world. If you'd like to learn more, check out the Institute at www.biblicaldefense.org or give us a call at 360-698-7382. Hello, this is Eric Purcell, the co-host of The Christian Worldview. I'd like to invite you to attend the church services of Trinity Bible Fellowship. Come hear Pastor Phil Fernandez and I preach the Word of God, 10:30 Sunday mornings at the Clear Creek Community Club on Clear Creek Road in Silverdale, Washington, just a short distance from the Kitsap Mall. That's Trinity Bible Fellowship, meeting at the Clear Creek Community Club in Silverdale, Washington. For more information, call 360-698-7382. And we're looking forward to seeing you on Sunday morning.
Hello, this is Dr. Phil Fernandez with The Christian Worldview. I have with me Eric Purcell, and tonight, one of our researchers, Rory Wessinger, we're talking about Islam and terrorism. Islam and terrorism. As we mentioned with that last caller, we would really like to see some more Muslim leaders, speak out against these attacks in America. And it would be nice to see this them speaking out against it in the Middle East as well. But that apparently is not the case, and that's unfortunate.
I'm tired of theological giants like George Bubba Bush telling me what Islam really stands for, and that I need to be more sensitive. And, you know, that's not what they really stand for, and they've been hijacked by these extremists and this and that and blah, blah, and other things. Mm. And I'm just tired of people who don't know anything about anything telling me what I should think and believe about something that is so obvious.
There's the attempt, and President Bush, I believe he's a man of character. Unfortunately, I think he misses the boats on a few points, and this is one of them. I think that that we need to call Islam what it is.
He is a character.
But whatever the case, what I don't like is, you know, everything we kind of have to water things down so as not to step on toes and this and that. Hey, we did not step on the Taliban's toes to begin with.
Right.
They brought this on. So we know what they're about. So
we funded them and set them up and trained their fighters.
Yeah. So I think it's time that that we just, you know, call it like it is in the Islamic faith. Now, if I have a next door neighbor who is a Muslim, and I know several Muslims, Middle Eastern Muslims in America, and they're very peaceful people, and that's great.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, if there's a debate between an Islamic terrorist and a peaceful Islamic person, I think the Islamic terrorist is going to find a lot more support for his views from both the Quran and the Hadith. And that's sad, but that's the way it is, and that's why there's so much bloodshed. Now, as far as, a guy blowing up an abortion clinic and then calling himself a Christian or whatever, obviously no true Christian could do that. But the fact of the matter is, if somebody blows up an abortion clinic, they're labeled a Christian whether the guy even ever says it or not. And immediately the press goes onto this tirade against Christians, and they're intolerant and they're infringing on everybody's rights. And then when Muslims kill innocent people and then proclaim from the rooftops that they're Muslims, all of a sudden, now wait a minute,
they're not really Muslims.
The real Muslims would never do this, even though Muhammad says in Surah 9 to go out and get the infidels and if they don't convert, kill them. I think we're getting a double standard here, which is really...
I think one thing that people need to understand, anybody who's going to be witnessing to someone who is Muslim, who is open to the Islamic faith, even if you're not witnessing to a Muslim specifically, if you're witnessing to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or the Jehovah's Witnesses or something, it's not the person who is your adversary. It is not the person who is your enemy. It's the philosophy behind what they believe. Mm-hmm. It is the power behind the religion that they believe in or they're being courted by. So it doesn't do much good to, if you find out your neighbor's a Muslim, to go over there and say, hey, Joe, I hear you're a Muslim, and boy, that makes you really stupid. That's just not the way to do it. You have to deal with issues based upon truth, based upon revelation of God, you know, comparing the teachings of the Quran and the Hadith to Scripture, comparing the ways of salvation and things like that. And I don't want people to get the impression that I'm, or any of us are here to bash Muslims.
No,
we're not here to bash Muslims. We're here to try to expose the problems with the philosophy behind what they believe.
Yeah, and I think one of the major problems is the Western press itself. Because the same Western press that will act like Christianity is so intolerant is then turning around and acting like the Islamic movement is such a peaceful movement. Well, you know, the first 300 years of Christianity can be summed up in one word. Persecution, where Christians were slaughtered for their faith until the church began to merge with the state, which was rather unfortunate in some ways.
And really,
with Constantine in 313 A.D.
Up to this day, any country on earth besides Western philosophy nations, Christianity is still stumped up by one word, persecution.
Yeah. And then, but with the Islamic faith, the first few hundred years, you could sum it up in one word, and it's conquest. That they just went out, and so for us to say, you know, what is traditional Islam? Look at Muhammad. What is traditional Christianity? Look at Jesus. And with Jesus, you find someone who proclaimed his teachings through word of mouth. With Muhammad, if you didn't like what he said, he broke out the sword. And that's rather unfortunate, but I think we need to look at Islam for what it really is.
Right.
Now, if there's a neo-Islam out there, a newer version of the Islamic faith that is peaceful, you know, more power to these guys, and then we can get right into doctrinal issues such as the Muslim denial of the deity of Christ and the doctrine of the Trinity and salvation. They deny salvation by God's grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, and Christ's bodily resurrection, things of that sort. But it just amazes me that the Western press just wants to whitewash over the fact that the Quran is literally filled with passages talking about going out there and slaughtering the infidels, so that when something like this, you know, if we're going to really deal with the problem with September 11th, we've got to get to the root of this problem. And I think the root of this problem is not a few wackos who are stepping outside of mainstream Islam. I think the problem can actually be found in the Quran, in the Hadith, and in the life and the actions of Muhammad. Now, Rory, the Islamic faith and nationalism have led many Arabs to despise Israel. Many Arabs want the Holy Land. You know, in Jerusalem you have the Dome of the Rock, where the Jewish temple once was. A lot of hostility that is there. But the question I have for you, where do these terrorists come up with all their funds? Are these organizations, they just kind of have all that money at their bidding to use? Where is the funding coming from in Islamic circles?
Well, as Christians, we want to pursue the truth. And that also means that we have to pursue political truth and take it where it leads us. And the evidence would lead us to the fact that none of these terrorists would be able to do what they can do without state sponsorship. And the chief state sponsorship don't merely mean Iran, Syria, North Korea, and Iraq, that the Bush administration has been throwing down our throats. It actually leads to Russia and China, which the establishment, the Bush administration, has conveniently ignored and has not been broadcast in the major media. And as Christians, we need to understand that there's a political angle, and there's a lot of malfeasance and duplicity that's going on out there in the political circles, and we need to unveil that.
Now, even the quote-unquote conservative talk show host Rush Limbaugh would have a problem with that kind of reasoning. He would say that, well, Russia is no longer the old Soviet Union. Communism is dead. Russia, that they're our allies now. What's the problem with that view?
Well, the problem with that view is if anybody reads any political journals like the Foreign Affairs Journal, you will find out that the same so-called reformed communists are actually still in power. They haven't been jailed like the Nazis were. Remember the denazification program that occurred after World War II when everybody went out to get Nazis, and rightfully so. But you never saw that after the so-called collapse of the Soviet Union.
So Gorbachev has nothing to worry about with the International Criminal Court.
Well, he's one of the elites behind it.
That's a whole other topic right there.
Yeah.
But the main point here is that these terrorists wouldn't be able to do what they have done without state sponsorship. And that doesn't merely point to Iran and Pakistan, but Iranian intelligence, the IEI, I believe is what it's called, has always been in bed with the Soviet FSB, which is the precursor of the KGB, a successor of the KGB, and they are still in business. And we're just ignoring the fact that China, is, in fact, supported the Taliban all the way through the conflict and still does.
Mm-hmm.
And Russia has her hands, and the Russian elite, the KGB, and Putin and all his boys are just as involved with these terrorists as the Iranians, and we need to recognize that. That's where the evidence takes us.
You know, it's interesting too, because I've often heard that there's no way for communist regimes to survive and endure without Western funds, without funds from capitalist nations. So that would, you know, if what you're saying is true, if you could trace the money trail right back to Russia and China themselves, which, you know, I mean, it seems like
it goes right back to the West.
Everybody's got either AK-47s from Russia, these terrorists, or they have M-16s from the U.S. of A.
And a lot of the funds that Russia received
to
send those AK-47s came from the United States and our policies.
Emanating
from Washington.
We're going to have you back on in a future program, Rory, because, like you mentioned, the Foreign Affairs Journal, and that's the journal of the Council of Foreign Relations, which is probably the most powerful quote-unquote think tank in America. Yes,
I would just say it's kind of a pincer strategy where you have the political angle and also the religious angle. Islam provides the religious ideological groundswell, if you will, to bring up these ground troops, these foot soldiers, the cannon fodder, if you will, and you have the political angle that supports them through these state sponsors of terror.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you'd like to get in on this conversation, just give us a call at 874-1400, 874-1400, on Megatalk 1400 KITZ. This is the Christian Worldview, and we're talking about the Islamic faith and terrorism. Eric, we were talking about some of the similarities between Islam and Christianity, and as well as Judaism, the belief in a personal God. And now I want to talk about some of the differences, but before we do that, I'm going to just touch on a little bit of the history of Islam, and then we'll talk about some of the differences, some of the areas, the doctrinal differences between Christians and Muslims. And we're going to be going to a break here in just a few seconds. This is Dr. Phil Fernandez with Eric Purcell. Tonight we have a guest, Rory Wessinger. This is the Christian Worldview on Megatalk 1400 KITZ.
You know, most people I know are burning the candle at both ends just to keep up with everything they have to do in life. Many Christians just don't have the time or funds to pursue a solid Christian education. This is where Columbia Evangelical Seminary can help. Columbia has been established to reach this segment of adult learners. The curriculum has been designed for self-paced learning by mentorship study. While some students take classes in a more traditional setting, all coursework may be accomplished entirely by mentorship study. There are no residency requirements whatsoever. The curriculum may be as varied or as specific as the student desires because the student virtually designs his or her own curriculum. Columbia Evangelical Seminary is not accredited. However, if you do not absolutely need a degree from an accredited school, why spend the extra money earning one? You can earn a one-year Christian Studies diploma or go all the way up to a doctorate degree. For more information, contact Columbia at P.O. Box 1189, Buckley, Washington, 98321, or visit them on the web at columbiaseminary.org. Hello, this is Eric Purcell, the co-host of the Christian Worldview. I'd like to invite you to attend the church services of Trinity Bible Fellowship. Come hear Pastor Phil Fernandez and I preach the Word of God, 10:30 Sunday mornings at the Clear Creek Community Club on Clear Creek Road in Silverdale, Washington, just a short distance from the Kitsap Mall. That's Trinity Bible Fellowship, meeting at the Clear Creek Community Club in Silverdale, Washington. For more information, call 360-698-7382. And we're looking forward to seeing you on Sunday morning. The Institute of Biblical Defense is an organization that believes and teaches that biblical Christianity is not reserved for the uneducated and unstable, as some would have us believe. We present and defend our faith to prove that point. Science, philosophy, history, archaeology, all the evidence points to an empty tomb outside Jerusalem, God's greatest miracle in an unbelieving world. If you'd like to learn more, check out the Institute at www.biblicaldefense.org or give us a call at 360-698-7382.
Hello, this is Dr. Phil Fernandez, Joe and Angie's little boy. This is the Christian Worldview with Eric Purcell and Rory Wessinger. We're talking about the Islamic faith and terrorism. We have a caller. Richard, you're on the line.
Hi there.
How you doing?
Pretty good. I think you're really being entirely too kind to the Muslims for myself.
In what sense, sir?
How's that?
In what sense?
I am having a hard time hearing you.
Oh, what? Well, how are we being too kind to the Muslims?
Well, it's a very primitive faith when you get bound down to it. When Muhammad was around, why they were just a bunch of herders and stuff, and they were very dispersed and all that, and they have in their faith they believe and practice slavery. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, there's they go down into North Africa, down where the blacks are, and they abduct women and children and take them into slavery. There's a group I'm not sure, but I think they're a Christian-based group that goes over there and buys back those people that they've abducted in slavery.
Yes,
they do. Yeah.
That is a Christian group.
Yep.
That is a Christian group.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, really.
Yeah, there's not only the slavery, but even the polygamy that Muhammad himself practiced is also going on. The violations of women's rights, I mean, that's really obvious. And any government that has been saturated with the Islamic worldview is a government where there is zero religious freedom, very little, if any, rights for the woman, and then, as you mentioned, quite often slavery in many parts of the world. And so, there is a real track record of human rights violations in the Islamic world.
Yeah, I don't judge the truthfulness of a religion based upon its human rights violations. If I seem to recall, Abraham was a sheep herder. Mm-hmm. Israel practiced slavery. In fact, there are laws about slavery in the Old Testament. And so I'm not going to judge the validity of a religion upon that sort of thing. I mean, yes, they've got problems in that area. Mm-hmm. And yes, it is a horrible, horrible history that they have. And yes, I believe that Muhammad is reacting to the doctrines of demons, that he has founded a religion based upon the false pretenses of spiritual power. But to say that...
But I think, though, the point is well taken that slavery was universally applied in ancient times, but Christianity and Judaism, applying the principles taught in the Judeo-Christian scriptures, we no longer practice those things anymore. In fact, the Judeo-Christian heritage put an end to it in Western culture, whereas the Islamic faith continues on the teachings of Muhammad, and so slavery is still still widespread in many other countries.
But, I mean, if you're going to make that the sole, if you're going to pick something like that and make mm-hmm. it the sole flag for whether something is true or not,
mm-hmm.
Some of our founding fathers owned slaves. So I guess America is a defunct society that should be destroyed.
Yeah, well, and again, there with with Western civilization didn't create slavery, but Western civilization actually put an end to it. But I do think that that Richard is right in that he's saying, hey, there's a lot of bad, ugly things going on right now, practices that have continued for, you know, since the inception, since the start of the Islamic
faith.
Just
look at the Sudan.
And yeah, the Sudan. In fact, Sudan,
Indonesia.
You have many, many Christians being sold into slavery and being being put to death, and a lot of the horrible things that are going on. And in fact, with 160,000 Christians put to death each year for the last decade, you find most of the Christian martyrdom occurs in either Islamic regimes or communist regimes, and that's really scary.
And
so,
if what Rory just told us is true, that there's the funding is actually for the Islamic regimes from the Russian or the Soviet regime. So,
well, okay, Richard, thanks a lot for the call.
The funding, you know, they're funding for Al Qaeda and the Taliban. It was oil money. It was money that we gave the Saudis and those other countries for oil, and then they made them very wealthy, and they contributed large sums to both Taliban and Al Qaeda.
And I think you could also trace the I've seen documentation tracing the flow of money back to Iraq, but even there you can find the trace of money going from coming from Russia. Iraq.
With the kind of coordination that's required in these enterprises, you need state sponsorship.
You know, the German Secret Service found that they came out recently and they said that they could find no evidence that Osama bin Laden was directly involved in that attack on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. They said as near as they could find, he knew about it, but he wasn't directly involved, and he didn't have all the details on it. It was some other group that was behind it, and it cost about, actually, to pull it off, it cost about $1 million is all.
Well, the history of the 20th century, there's one common theme. We in the West, specifically the United States, have always funded people who were currently killing us or who were about to kill us. So that wouldn't surprise me a bit. But the main point here is that, we're not here to talk about Osama bin Laden specifically. We're not here to talk about Taliban specifically. We're here to talk about Islam.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to talk about whether or not Islam and terrorism, Islam and violence are mutually exclusive. So, Richard, we want to thank you for your call. Have a good, blessed weekend.
I just wanted to point out, too, that a lot of horrible things have been done in the name of Islam. A lot of horrible things have been done in the name of Christianity. But when you look at it, the things that are done, the horrible things that are done in the name of Christianity are done against what the scriptures say. It's in contradiction to the true biblical scriptures. The things that are horrible that are done in the name of Islam are in accordance with what the Quran says. So that's really something that we need to consider.
I think that's actually the heart of the matter. In fact, let me just read to you from Surah 9, verse 5. It says, when the sacred months are over, slay the idolaters, some translations read infidels, wherever you find them. Arrest them, besiege them, and lie in ambush everywhere for them. If they repent and take, if they repent and take to prayer and render the alms levy, allow them to go their way. God is forgiving and merciful. So, as long as they convert to Islam and pay the alms, then let them go. But if not, slay them.
I thought alms were something, at least in the biblical tradition, that you give to the poor. That you choose to give, but that are given to the poor, given to those who are downtrodden or whatever. That's kind of a strange use of the word alms, as far as that I've heard. But I'm not an expert on ancient languages, so it just seems kind of strange.
Yeah, let me go over a little bit of the history right now of Islam. Again, we'd like to get you in on this conversation. You can reach us at 874-1400. That's 874-1400. And the history of Islam. Islam was founded by Muhammad. Now, he was born in 570 A.D. in Mecca, Arabia. His father died before he was born. His mother died when he was seven. Now, early in his life, he suffered from fits. He even questioned whether or not he was demon-possessed. And I firmly believe from the Christian viewpoint that that may have been the case. But he hated the polytheism, the worship of many gods and the superstitions of Mecca. And he studied Judaism and Christianity probably through word of mouth and then came to the conclusion that there's only one God and tried to basically force that upon others. And so he became a monotheist, believed in the existence of only one God, took the name of the moon god, Allah, and applied that to him. Now we have a caller right now, and that's Tony. Tony, how you doing?
Hey, Dr. Fernandez.
How's it going?
Well, I just wanted to point out that it seems that the conflict between Islam and Christianity, it seems to be global. We see a lot of stuff going on in Malaysia and not necessarily India, but throughout the world.
Philippines.
And it seems to be a conflict of worldviews. Who's going to be in control of this next new world order? Is it going to be the God of love? Is going to be Christianity, or is there going to be a God of selfishness and me, like Allah or whoever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's interesting, and I think in the end, I think it's going to be neither. But I think right now the far left, by the far left, what I mean there are those who are the power hungry, those who want more and more control, want to rule the world. I'm talking about like United Nations circles and Russia, China, and even over here in America, we have globalists that want their piece of the pie. But whatever the case, I think right now the Islamic faith is being used by one-worlders to accomplish certain goals for them, but in the end, they don't have a place for traditional Islam at the table. I think in the end, in United Nations circles, from listening to speeches of Mikhail Gorbachev and Maurice Strong and Robert Mueller's writings, the former one of the leaders, former leaders of the UN, right. It's a New Age message, and it's a message where you worship the earth.
Yeah, they invite conflict because through conflict that can provide the pretext that's required for their agenda.
If your worldview is C, you get A and B to battle each other, and it makes your job easier.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Take over.
I think, Tony, the reason that you're seeing this such a prevalent thing is that the left, Phil was saying, the one-worlders, the socialists, the communists, have finally found somebody who hates Christianity and Israel as much as, if not more than they do, and also have a faith aspect, a religious aspect that says, if you go kill them, I'll guarantee you a place in heaven.
Okay, we're going to be going to a break. Thanks a lot, Tony. This is the Christian Worldview.
Hello, this is Eric Purcell, the co-host of the Christian Worldview. I'd like to invite you to attend the church services of Trinity Bible Fellowship. Come hear Pastor Phil Fernandez and I preach the Word of God, 10:30 Sunday mornings at the Clear Creek Community Club on Clear Creek Road in Silverdale, Washington, just a short distance from the Kitsap Mall. That's Trinity Bible Fellowship, meeting at the Clear Creek Community Club in Silverdale, Washington. For more information, call 360-698-7382. And we're looking forward to seeing you on Sunday morning. The Institute of Biblical Defense is an organization that believes and teaches that biblical Christianity is not reserved for the uneducated and unstable, as some would have us believe. We present and defend our faith to prove that point. Science, philosophy, history, archaeology, all the evidence points to an empty tomb outside Jerusalem, God's greatest miracle in an unbelieving world. If you'd like to learn more, check out the Institute at www.biblicaldefense.org or give us a call at 360-698-7382. You know, most people I know are burning the candle at both ends just to keep up with everything they have to do in life. Many Christians just don't have the time or funds to pursue a solid Christian education. This is where Columbia Evangelical Seminary can help. Columbia has been established to reach this segment of adult learners. The curriculum has been designed for self-paced learning by mentorship study. While some students take classes in a more traditional setting, all coursework may be accomplished entirely by mentorship study. There are no residency requirements whatsoever. The curriculum may be as varied or as specific as the student desires because the student virtually designs his or her own curriculum. Columbia Evangelical Seminary is not accredited. However, if you do not absolutely need a degree from an accredited school, why spend the extra money earning one? You can earn a one-year Christian Studies diploma or go all the way up to a doctorate degree. For more information, contact Columbia at P.O. Box 1189, Buckley, Washington, 98321, or visit them on the web at columbiaseminary.org.
This is the Christian Worldview. Dr. Phil Fernandez with Eric Purcell. We have with us Rory Wessinger. We're talking about Islam and terrorism. Islam and terrorism. Just giving a brief overview of the early history, the founding of the Islamic faith. And we mentioned that Muhammad studied Judaism and Christianity, but it was probably through word of mouth. There were many traders, people who made their living buying and selling and trading things coming through his area. Was on a main trade route throughout the Middle East. And it appears that he just heard stories about Judaism and Christianity. You can really make a case that he never really read the Bible from cover to cover, because he put Miriam, the sister of Moses, he also viewed her as the mother of Jesus. And he put them all during the Tower of Babel, so his whole timeline was thrown out to lunch.
He also called Jesus Esau, which he got from a lot of the local Jewish residents,
mm-hmm.
who referred to him as Jacob's brother.
He misunderstood Judaism as much as he did Christianity, and so, in fact, with Christianity, with the Trinity, he believed it was
tritheism.
God the Father, Jesus and Mary were the three members of the Trinity, so he was confused on that. He also believed in some of the miracles that are attributed to Jesus in the pseudepigrapha, the false writings, like the Gospel of Thomas, where Jesus throws a little baby tantrum and wipes out half the town and turns clay pigeons into real ones, and things of that sort. So he had no way of determining what was really in the scriptures and what wasn't in the scriptures, knew nothing about the timeline. So it appears that he received it, the information, through word of mouth. He received several visions, his first one at age 40, recorded them in the Quran. Like I said, at first he thought he was demon-possessed, but later changed his mind. And
you don't see that a lot from some of the Old Testament prophets.
Yeah.
I had this vision, and I just thought I was demon possessor for a while, but I guess I'm not.
Yeah, you find it with both Muhammad and Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism. They were very uneasy about the spirit entities that were visiting them at first, but as they became more familiar with them, they thought, okay, well, they must be good guys. They must be God. Of course, the scriptures tells us, 1 John 4:1, test the spirits, because not all spirits are from God. And whatever the case, God told Muhammad in a vision, or at least Muhammad thought so, that he was God's prophet, and he was rejected at Mecca, so he fled to Medina. That's the Hijra, the flight. But then he later returned to Mecca and conquered it. Can you imagine if Jesus had done that, gets rejected in Capernaum, or gets rejected in Jerusalem, leaves, and then comes back with hundreds of guys and wipes out the city? Can you imagine what people would be saying about Christianity right now? Yet you don't hear that when they're talking about Islam.
There will come a day when Jesus will return and conquer, mm-hmm. but that's not the way he started his religion.
That's right. And of course, Jesus as God incarnate, the day will come when he will shepherd the nations with an iron rod. But the fact of the matter is that's one of the reasons why we as Christians don't pick up the sword in the name of Christianity.
Right.
Sure, we need to defend our nation and defend our freedoms, but the Lord Jesus, as the Prince of Peace, he will come back and set things straight. It's his job to set things straight, not ours.
Vengeance is mine.
Yeah, with these Muslim extremists, they have taken it upon themselves to purge the earth, but they got that from Muhammad, from the Quran, and from the Hadith. And Muhammad's goal was to unify the Arab tribes under Allah's rule. And then you find some of the early leaders after Muhammad saying, hey, this should be done to the world. We need to purify the world and establish Islamic rule throughout the world. Now, Muhammad died in 632 A.D. without picking his successor, and so divisions arose. Some believed that that they were Muhammad's successor, and that started the Ayatollah movement, the Shiite movement. But whatever the case, that's a little bit of background on the Islamic faith. Now, areas where they differ from Christianity, Eric, if you could talk about that a little bit, some of the areas where they would reject traditional Christian beliefs.
Well, pretty much all the essentials of the Christian faith they deny. They deny the deity of Christ. They are monotheistic. We talked about that, but they deny the deity of Christ. They deny salvation by faith through grace in Christ alone.
Mm-hmm.
They deny that you cannot save yourself by your own works. Their view of the eternal afterlife is significantly different and somewhat perverted when compared to the Christian view of the afterlife.
That's, of course, when a Muslim dies as a martyr during jihad, during a holy war, supposedly he goes into an eternal drunken orgy, an eternity of drinking and sexual promiscuity.
Right. And you see, boy, you see that theme a lot in the non-Christian religions of the world.
Yeah.
And then when you start dealing with the study of demonology, you see how sexually perverted they are. It seems like you've got a common source there.
You know, and in Palestine and the PLO and its terrorist acts against Israel, it's really sad because you have little boys growing up being taught that someday you're going to be a great person who's going to die for the faith, and then funds are provided for the families to encourage their children to go that route.
I just saw a picture the other day on WorldNetDaily.com, a conservative news site on the internet, of a little old lady and her son standing there together in their front room with AK-47s as he was getting ready to go off and blow up a nail bomb on himself and kill a whole bunch of Jews.
Yeah.
And it was just really sad. I mean, it really made my heart kind of break. It's like, you know, these are human beings.
Yeah.
They have they're open to salvation the same as anyone is, and they've committed themselves to this track of death and destruction.
Okay, that wraps it up for our program tonight. This is Dr. Phil Fernandez, The Christian Worldview. We talked about Islam and terrorism. And, of course, there are peaceful Muslims out there, and we're glad that you're peaceful. But when everything that is said and done, Jesus Christ alone is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him.
If you would like to order a copy of this program on compact disc or other materials such as lectures or books written by Dr. Phil Fernandez and the Institute of Biblical Defense, give us a call at 360-698-7382 or visit our website at www.biblicaldefense.org. Materials are available on audio or video cassette or in book form. Again, that is the Institute of Biblical Defense at 360-698-7382.